Good morning, Sensei.
I'm going to do my annual talk on guidelines for practicing here. I'm going to begin by just a brief poem by Hanshan. And it's from a book called The Cloud Should Know Me By Now. Resting at my own window, I gaze out at the mountains. A thousand peaks of blue and purple rise above the pines. Without a thought or care, white clouds come and go, so utterly accepting, so totally relaxed. A lot of people who come to practice Zen have a variety of opinions that they come with about life, about the way things are supposed to work. And sometimes those opinions bump into how we do this practice. So the first thing that I'd like to say in giving this talk is, the reason for doing everything the same is that we are here to create a space to sit. And to be able to sit well, it's best to have no distractions. So that's why there's uniformity. That's why we bow the same way, we stand at the same time, we sit in the same way except for a variety of postures depending upon how flexible somebody is, and we do kin-hin in the same way. And repeated through time, the bells, the clappers, everything works the same way. And again, the reason for that is, if it works in that way, the mind is less stimulated. So it's important that we realize that this is a cooperative effort. You know, we're all participating in this together, and we're all doing our best to create a container for this work to take place in. Now, just a side note is, this is not high church Zen here. We don't wear robes. There's not a lot of shouting or anything like that. It's much more subdued, and there's certainly an invitation to make mistakes. There's no other way to learn how to do this without making mistakes. So nobody's going to yell at you if you make a mistake. Somebody may correct you, but I think it's done in a spirit of friendship, the spirit of being a fellow traveler on the path. So that would be, I would say, the spirit of having this structure and this similarity. There are a variety of ways that people gather together and practice Zen. And this definitely has it's part of the Japanese tradition. And in this particular lineage, which is called the White Plum lineage, it began, I've mentioned this before, but it began with my Izumi Roshi, who is Japanese, or was Japanese. And so all the rituals and stuff he carried with him from Japan, and that's basically the particular ones that we use. Now, Zen wouldn't be Zen if there wasn't Zazen. And again, many of you know this, but Zazen means to sit Zen. And in sitting Zen, it's very important to take up a correct posture. And probably the key is to have your spine be straight. But again, this is not the military, so it's straight in a very gentle way. And if anybody has physical difficulties, then you find the best you can do. You adapt to the circumstances. And there are a variety of ways of sitting. Now, Dave is sitting in what we call seiza. So that's a variation. Some people sit in chairs. Some people sit in the classic meditation position with their legs crossed, and then there's a variety of that. But it's important to make note of, no one is better than the other. If you've done this as long as I've done it, you come across people who tell themselves that somehow sitting in a chair is less than sitting on a floor. Sitting in a full lotus is less than sitting in a half lotus. Well, that's just a disease of the mind. That's the mind creating problems, right? The heart of Zazen is to sit, and sitting means to pay attention. And again, there's a variety of ways that we do it. Some people count their breath. Some people just follow their breath. and some people sit with a koan. But whatever that practice is, it's extremely important to remember that the heart of it is just simply paying attention. Now, Zazen doesn't stop here. It's not a thing that we come here to do, and then we leave and, you know, go to the quarter bar and get drunk. Zazen is really a practice that leaves the cushion and goes out into the world. Out in the world, hopefully, in a compassionate way. So really, Zazen is about life. It's about each one of your lives. It's about meeting the world in a particular way, with attention, and hopefully with an open heart. And these are all the fruits of sitting Zazen. It opens us. Hopefully it frees us of all the constrictions that have been created by our minds. And that happens subtly through time by practicing over and over and over again. Just a quick aside, anger. My experience is that anger is usually the front person for something else. It's easier to be angry because it's a wall, really. And it's also a protection from looking this way. And I think anger usually is the front person for a deeper feeling of I care. And if that wanting to care is blocked in some way, or we tell ourselves it is blocked in some way, that's, again, my personal experience is that's when I get pissed off. Because I want something to go in a particular way, and I really care that it goes in a particular way. And then when it doesn't, I talk to myself in my head. And usually, if you observe this, before a feeling comes a thought. And it's interesting, because a lot of time then, if you realize that or you experience that, the mind makes a hell of a lot of trouble. It's a really good example of the idea of how do you go in the world and take your practice. And I like the fact that, and I don't mean this mean-spiritedly, but that you struggle, because it's a good example that you don't just, here I am, right? It's tough. Let me read that poem again. This is Han Shan, a Chinese poet, and it's from, as I said, a book called The Cloud Should Know Me By Now. Resting at my own open window, I gaze out at the mountains. A thousand peaks of blue and purple rise above the pines. Without a thought or a care, white clouds come and go. So utterly accepting, so totally relaxed. Right? There's no struggle. If the wind comes, the clouds move. If there is no wind, the clouds stay. But the clouds don't make choices, right? Oh, I wish the wind was blowing today. Oh, I don't like being still. It's moving with what is. And there's really a certain amount of grace in that, being able to move in that way. And also, if we learn to move in that way, a lot of the rigidity, a lot of the tension, a lot of those things drop away, and we become who we really are. Right? We reveal who we really are. So I think if you sit and you pay attention, the more you become awake, you'll be able to see the way in which your effort affects your practice. If you have a self-gaining idea and you're making effort in that particular way, well, that's going to have consequences. If your effort, your focus of attention is to just merely sit and be with your breath, not that there's no effort, but it's a different kind of effort. So the next thing is what we have an altar. And a lot of us have been brought up in the Judaic Christian system, and altar has a particular meaning in that context. So in the Zen context, we have on the altar a Buddha, and we also have a candle, we have incense, we have a water bowl, and we have flowers. So those are the four elements: fire, air, water, and earth. Fire is the candle, air is the incense, water is the water bowl, and earth are the flowers. So in part, the altar there is an expression of our lives and all the different elements. And in a way, it's a paying homage to all these aspects of life. It's one thing. And the other thing is that we put the Buddha on the altar. And it's really not a matter of worship or bowing to something that's above us. The Buddha's there really as a reminder that each one of us is Buddha. The true nature that Buddha eventually expressed is in each one of us. And again, our true nature, our insight, our sense of oneness is not something that's out there that we have to find and make our own. This is why in Zen we say we are already enlightened, and that's why we practice. So we practice to express who we really are. So it's really revelatory. It's a revelation of what is already there. Now, bowing. When people bow to each other, in the context of Zen, in the context of this practice, each one of us, right, is already enlightened. Each one of us is Buddha nature. And so, in this practice, when we bow to each other, we are bowing to the Buddha nature in each one of us. And there is no hierarchy like that. We just bow. Right? Just bow. And it doesn't matter whether it's Maizumi Roshi, who's not with us anymore, or it's Sensei Joe. It's all equal in that context of bowing, right? I mean, it's true that outside of bowing, there is somewhat of a hierarchy based on the experience that somebody has. But even then, it's the hierarchy of the role, not the hierarchy of the human being. The human beings are still equal. So we bow in oneness. Oneness within ourselves and oneness to each other. Right? Again, it's a celebration of oneness. And so, let me just finish with bowing. And so there are three types of bows. So there's gassho. Now the tops, I've fallen out of this practice and I should get back into it. But the nose and the tops of the fingertips should be together. And the first bow is called gassho. And it's like this, right? And then there's a full gassho, which is like this. And then, of course, there's the one that we do on the floor, prostration. And actually, when the hands go like this, it's like holding a baby in your hands. You know, it's this gentle expression. As soon as you enter the zendo, before you come in at the threshold, you do a gassho. Then if you come in and you take a seat that causes you to pass in front of the altar, gassho. Right? If you take a seat over here, you don't have to bow to the altar. So then we go to our place, and the first thing that we do, well, here's another quick aside. Most of the cushions in zendos have a label, right? So the label is usually facing out to the center. And the reason for that is if you come in and the label is facing out, that's an empty seat. So if you claim that place, you turn the cushion around. Now, we don't do that, but just so you know, you turn the cushion around, and now somebody comes in. They know that they can't sit there. That's taken. And so I come in, and I don't bow to my place right away. I set my place up, and then I stand and bow. So it's not like this, right? We don't come to our place and bow and then set it up. You set it up first, and then bow. And then you turn around and you bow to the person across from you. Now here's another thing, right? You turn around and bow to the person across from you, and seven people all return the bow. Really, it's just two people. The person across from you and you. All right. So there's not a lot of bowing. And if there are people sitting here but there's nobody across from you, then nobody returns your bow. You just bow. Most people do this, but if you come late, you never enter the zendo. You wait until kinhin, and then you can get on the end of the kinhin line. Everybody will sit down and pick an open spot. I think I'm going to quit there. I'll pick up bowing the next time. Thanks.